I'm a little behind on recording all these, so I apologize in advance for recording quite possibly up to 6 to 8 episodes in this brief period of time. So I'm going to keep things a little condensed, and that's because I'm a little behind, so I want to make sure that I can catch up. And so these may be quite short to make sure that I actually get them done so I can stay on top of them all throughout. In torts, this was a little sidetrack, but Professor Miller wanted to talk about some of the procedures in torts. So he talked about procedures that can occur in pre-trial, during trial, and post-trial. And there's a few things that can occur that plaintiffs or defendants can use to try and get their way before the jury actually does anything. So let's go over these quickly. Pre-trial, you have motion to dismiss. So the purpose of this motion is to, well, what ends up happening when a defendant pushes a motion to dismiss, it's as if they're saying all the facts are true and saying if all these facts are true, they're saying that the plaintiff can't prove their claim. And so there should not even be, there is no claim, and as a result, there is no trial. And so that's what a motion to dismiss is. On the other hand, a summary judgment is after discovery, where you gather all the evidence. The defendant claims that there was no actual factual dispute, and so they're entitled to a judgment as a matter of law. So they're saying that the plaintiff could have a claim, but they did not actually meet that claim with those facts. And so the defendant in this case is trying to argue for a summary judgment. During trial, you can make an objection to evidence, but these need to be made in a timely manner. So if you want to appeal, then you should have objected in a timely fashion. However, you actually have to show significant prejudice, meaning that the evidence being admitted against your objection significantly harmed your case. If you fail to do so, the appellate court is going to follow the discretion of the trial court. You can move for a motion for a directed verdict, and then you can object to the instructions as well. A motion for a directed verdict is just saying, now that the jury's heard everything, we want you to just make this call because it shouldn't have even made it this far in the first place. As far as the objections to the instructions, that's saying, we don't think that your instruction was proper. Here's what we think the proper instruction is. And we think that the prior objection gives significant prejudice. Post-trial, you can, again, motion for a judgment notwithstanding the verdict. So say, for example, the jury came back in favor for the plaintiff, and the defendant says, well, that shouldn't have gone to the jury in the first place because they didn't make their claim. This is a second chance, so to speak, for the judge to say, you're right, because they don't want to be reversed. And then finally, you can motion for a new trial. And the defendant can ask for a new trial if, one, there is a mistaken instruction, or the verdict is against the weight of the evidence. And along with that, you can ask for a remitter, which is to reduce the amount that the evidence ends up supporting. So that's some of the procedures that we talked about, and we'll go ahead and move back into this standard of care. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are 4 things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro, and you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the 4th thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable, that is, Law Scholars is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.